Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jenny Walker, and welcome to Closet Conversations. I wanted to talk to you today about the consignment shop model, and if we believe that it's dying, that it's dead, that it's gone, given the rise of resale and reselling. And I'm talking about this from the perspective of a consignment shop owner. And I think that consignment shops, which have been around since, I think the first one was in New York in the late 40s, 1940s, 1950s. One of the first shops was called Michael's Consignment. They're still around today, family-owned business. But the traditional consignment shop model consisted of a storefront, an actual shop, physical shop, inside which people would provide clothing to sell that was pre-owned. A lot of times in the early days, it was supplemented with kind of a Lohmann's type of environment where the people in the shop were able to get items at a discount and then sell them to people. But traditional consignment shops have been brick and mortar. They've been around for decades. And everything changed really with the internet and online selling. And what's happened most recently with all of the ease now with cell phone apps and the internet and the apps that are out there like a Poshmark and eBay has app, Depop, Best Year Collective, all of these places now, Mercari, Grailed, you can get your product up there on your own. You don't need to use someone to sell it for you, and you can keep more of the profits. So the reason I'm thinking about this is that people still today are thinking about opening up consignment shops. There's very few chains in the world that are consignment shop chains. And what I mean by that is there are some regional chains in California, and I'm talking about maybe three or four shops. The biggest chain, which is, you know, consignment and resale, like Buffalo Exchange, that's one of the biggest ones that's out there. Second Street, which is growing, has a few stores now sprinkling around in California, but there are not a ton of chains, which means that most of these shops are independently owned and operated. They're serving local communities, and the trend has been lately to bring that inventory online. And certainly with COVID-19, it's one of the big things that people have done to kind of flip their business around to tackle the fact that people aren't shopping the way they used to. And the reason I'm thinking about it tonight is that someone reached out to me that listens to my podcast that's considering opening up a consignment shop. And it got me thinking about, well, what is the state of consignment shops these days? And companies like The RealReal, they have a consignment segment of their business. They also do buy inventory to resell. They do not talk about it much. If you listen to any of their earnings calls or read any of their literature or keep your ear to the ground, I met someone recently who wholesales products for their home division to The RealReal. You know, they are not 100% consignment. And I think there's a lot of pluses and minuses to being having the consignment model that I want to talk to you about today. And do I think that model is dying? Yeah, I do. I think it is dying a little bit. It's still there. It's still a viable and important part of the reselling business ecosystem. But there's a lot of pluses and minuses, and I want to talk about some of them now. So one of the things that's involved in consignment also to think about is how you're having to deal with the what I'm going to call relationship management portion, which has nothing to do with the actual product. So in consignment, you have your consigners that you must have a relationship with, a pleasant relationship, be able to communicate with them about their items, communicate with them about the terms of your selling to make sure things are clear. And we know, as for the women listening, we are attached to our clothes. It's emotional attachment. And so sometimes, depending on the items, you know, there could be something that the person consigning has that triggers something with them to where they need to get a certain amount for their item or they're not willing to sell it. And usually that has to do with emotion and not value that I've learned in my experience. But be that as it may, it's a big part of consignment is managing the consignment relationship. The other thing about consignment is that it is a finite amount of inventory that is controlled by the person who brings it in. What my experience has been that when I think about my repeat consigners in my business, I would say there's probably a handful. They're the kind of consigners that turn their wardrobe, every couple of years, completely turn it, that are large consumers because of their lifestyle, because of, you know, the way they live and their social world that they're in that requires a lot of different garments and not to be seen more than once. So there's a lot of that that goes on, but it quite honestly is a very small segment of my business. And so what you're left with is a business of things that are finite, meaning you get a group of clothes, you sell them through, and that's it. You never see that person again, ever, right? And so the repeat customer is the one who has got to have some sort of, you know, thing going on in their life where they are purging on a constant basis. And I thought with COVID-19 and people purging and condoing their lives that there'd just be this huge influx of new consigners, but that hasn't actually been the case. A lot of the new items that I have received recently is because I'm dealing with estates of people who have passed, and so I'm dealing with their families or their lawyers or estate managers to get in the best of what those items are into the store, so you get a lot at once. But your average consigner that comes in bringing the stuff, I really haven't seen a lot of that, and I think that I have the same level as I've had, and so I'm thinking a lot of those people have gone straight to the Goodwill, right? That they went straight to donate it. But there's no shortage of inventory. I'm literally choking with inventory in my store right now with three estates that we've taken in most recently, one other estate that's still there that we've been selling through for almost 2 years now. There was so much of it. And so when you think about it, the consignment model is going to be that you're going to share that profit. And so all of your overhead, all of the expense of processing these items to sell, and in my case, and in the case of a lot of stores now, that means processing it and selling it and putting it online. So you have to realize that that is a huge part of the selling costs and selling experience in the store to add the online component. In my store, it is 100% every single item gets posted online, end of story. That's it. And so once we started that, can't really stop. So it means that you have to be very clear what you're going to take in, how you're going to manage the online fees. Are you going to add the fees into the price? Are you not going to add the fees into the price? And that is something that was a huge mistake of mine early on, is that my soft end, I had no idea what they were talking about. What are they talking about? Adding fees in, selling fees. I had no clue. And it was very sophisticated software. Well, it is sophisticated software. So you can, you know, they can deal with auctions. They can deal with consignment. They can deal with, you know, it's a dollar every time you cut a check that gets deducted. It's a dry cleaning fee. It's, you know, a percentage on top of the sales price to cover the online selling fees of like an eBay or a Poshmark and things like that. And you can do an item fee and a this fee and a this fee. Like, there's all these fees that you could put in. And in the beginning, I didn't really understand what any of that was. And I'm like, I don't want any fees. I want to be very clear. 50%, we get 100, you get 100. If it's $200, end of story. But the problem with that is it's not a profitable model. Without the fees, you're not profitable in consignment. So imagine, if you will, you've got an item that sells for $100. They're getting 50. You got 50 left. And out of your 50, you have to pay all the selling fees. Could be 20% the Poshmark. You have to pay all your overhead. You have to pay your rent. You have to pay your processing. Like, the model doesn't work without in that way. You literally, in that scenario, the consignor always gets more than you. And so that doesn't work. And we did that for the first, I'm laughing, first 3 years. 3 or 4 years of our business, and then at the time, my business partner was like, this just doesn't make sense to me, and we were looking at auction house models, and like in an auction house, there's like a buyer's premium and a seller's premium, and that's how they make their money. Because if they didn't have a premium percentage that was going to be paid over and above the selling price, they couldn't operate. They couldn't pay their people. They couldn't provide the service. And so that was something that I was really shocked about, not understanding and not knowing in the beginning, and now realizing, oh my gosh, a huge part of, okay, I can pay my rent now, right? You know, I can pay my rent. I can, you know, make sure, you know, have money to pay staff or like that kind of thing. So it's a huge part of it that we missed out on in the first 3-4 years of our business, not understanding that. But that is something we have changed. And so in the consignment model, to make it profitable, adding in fees, I have people who do consignment that sell on Poshmark, and they're like, we split 50-50, the price after the 20% Poshmark fee in the story. So sells for 100, Poshmark keeps 20, there's $80 left, the seller gets 40, and the person who did all the work gets $40. And in that model, it makes perfect sense. And so they've built in the cost of selling on top of the price and are splitting the rest. And so the structure in terms of the actual percentage of profit you're going to get in the consignment model, you have to be very, very conscious of that, which is why some stores only offer you 40%. The reason they're only giving you 40% is they need 60% to pay the bills. So that is something to consider in consignment. The other part of consignment is you never have a clean profit. Like, no matter what money you bring in, there's something always going back out. And to me, in terms of cash flow for the business, it's, you know, one of the mistakes we made early on was, oh, I'll pay everybody on the first of the month. Well, for cash flow, that's a problem. We pushed it 2 weeks later. It's the 15th instead of the first, so that we had another 2 weeks. It allowed for returns where you have a 30-day return online. It allowed for cash flow in the business to catch up to what was owed. But because there's no clean profit and you always, always have to pay the consignor in a consignment model, you have to build in things that's going to allow the money to flow free enough so that you have enough going through your business so that you can easily pay them when the due date is on your contract. So that's another aspect of it. I think that a lot of people are selling their own clothes these days. And I actually recommend it to people because I get called all the time to sell inventory that's not worth it to me. And what I mean by that is it's not worth the energy. It's not worth the effort. It's not financially profitable for me to list a Chico's blazer that I'm going to sell for $45, for example. So in that instance, one, it's not a designer brand, so it doesn't work for my store. But two, it's not something I can sell for hundreds of dollars. And so it's not profitable for me to even go through the intake process and go through the process of photographing it and putting it online, going through all that effort, getting it out there, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think the consignment model is one that I am moving away from. And what I mean from that is I am supplementing the consignment with the reselling where we own the merchandise. And one of the reasons I'm doing that is that there is an inconsistency of what comes in when it's consignment. I cannot control what comes in my door. I have no idea what's coming in. I don't know if it's 400 jackets and 3 skirts or 400 skirts and 2 jackets. Like, there's always a disconnect between what we would find in a traditional retail store where they have certain number of blouses, a certain number of pants, a certain number of shorts, you know, a certain number of skirts. Like when they used to build coordinate groups back in the day, and, you know, I'm old enough to have lived long enough to have been through the coordinate group retail experience. Like my mother used to always go into the department store, I think it was Dillard's, and we would look at the Ellen Tracy coordinate group, the Anne Klein coordinate group, this coordinate group, and it had the jacket and the skirt and the pant and all this stuff. So there was a thought behind all of that, that one, the woman would want to buy more than one piece to put together an outfit, but also it supplied all the different possibilities you might need. So you weren't running all over the store to find a skirt or a pair of pants. And I find in my consignment job, someone came in recently and they said, oh, I'm looking for a black pleated skirt. And I'm like, I don't have any black pleated skirts at all. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I have any black skirts. And if I do, like, I don't even know if they're your size. So, like, there's such a limit to what's in there that now the thought is in the intake process, but certainly to supplement the consignment where we own the merchandise, where we go out and source it on our own. I'm looking at, is that, do we need more skirts? Do we need more blouses? Like, I have a blouse shortage in my shop. I got jackets for days, but there's a blouse shortage. So someone came in the other day looking for a blouse, because I'm like, can't help you. I don't have any. So that's where the ability to buy wholesale, the ability to buy inventory on your own to supplement the pieces that are coming in through consignment is so important, to give the right merchandise mix. People always talk about that. Merchandise mix in a store is important. Now, one of the things that I've done in terms of moving away from consignment and doing more on my own to create something special in the shop, because if you've ever been to a consignment shop, it's 99% of the time it's a jumble, meaning all the shirts are together, all the pants are together, all the skirts are together, all the dresses are together, and it's really, really difficult to look at that, and it's very hard on the eye because nothing goes together. The colors are off and got different sleeve lengths, different textures, different fabrics, all this kind of thing, and it's really, really hard. Like, it's like when you go through a Goodwill or you go through a Salvation Army. Like, it's just a jumble, right? So there's a look and feel. There's actually a stress to all of that. And what we've tried to do, one, is to supplement the consignment shop inventory with things that we own. And so in my case, I have what is known as, I'll say one of, but probably the largest shoppable archive of vintage Moschino in the world. And the reason we've tag it that way is because I don't know what private collections are out there, but I do know shoppable archival, I got the biggest one anywhere that anyone knows about. So that was something that was done and brought into the store to help supplement and fill up the store with things that we owned, things we could control, things that we knew how to merchandise to put together. And quite frankly, it's one of the coolest things I've ever done in terms of the response from the customers, not just buying the clothes that are vintage Moschino, but the excitement women literally screech out loud when they see it, because it's such a joy. There's such fun pieces. They're the most retro, cool, fun things in the world. And most stores have a smattering of vintage Moschino running around. I got like 1,000 pieces all in one place. It is mind-blowing. So it's an experience. So that is the model. And in a physical shop, I'm battling all the time is, how do I want that customer to feel when they come in here? What is the shopping experience? How am I creating something special for people? And it's really, really hard to do if everything's a jumble and it looks like you've walked into a Goodwill. So I've done my best to create a boutique environment. I've done my best to colorize in the store. Things are by color and style in the store. I've done my best to bring in more color, literal colorful clothes into the store to help level it up and make it more exciting to the eye. I bought new rugs recently that have bright, colorful balloons on it, and they're white rugs, and I knew they'd get dirty, and they sure did, but they have done the job to make it feel more exciting in the store. So the consignment model has its issues. It's very limited to what stock's coming in. What people are buying continues to change, certainly with COVID-19. Things have really changed in how we dress. I have been running around in sweats and comfortable pants, even going back to my store when I was allowed back in. I mean, I'm still very comfortable in the store. I don't dress the way I used to, and I don't have the energy for it for some reason right now. I think as things are still trying to get back, but people are not dressing the way they used to. And during COVID, we were selling, you know, high-end sweat pants by like Chrome Hearts, and we were selling hoodies by Chrome Hearts or vintage hoodies by the Great China Wall, things like that. So we were selling very high-end luxury items that were to satisfy the comfort and the fit that people were looking for. Always selling designer bags, that's kind of a given, but in terms of the clothing,
it's really, really interesting how it does change. I haven't sold any gowns for 2 years, and then suddenly everybody had a wedding to go to. So our movements in what people are looking for, and you have to be mindful of that as you're taking things in because you have a finite space. My store is completely packed. I do not have 1 inch in there at all. And so we're busy trying to deal with that and return clothes that have never sold. You know, I'm running a sale online on eBay to help move some of the merchandise and move it through and kind of calm it down. But that is a big issue. So consignment has its issues when it doesn't sell. According to my contract, if they don't come get it at the 2 weeks after the end of the consignment period, it's mine to do whatever I want with. I usually don't adhere to that and give people more time, but literally no one has come in after COVID to get anything. I've got like an entire rack of sale in the back that has Valentino on it and Louis Vuitton and Prada, and it's like all these beautiful things. And it's just a shame that during COVID, where people weren't buying fancy dresses and weren't going out, that these beautiful clothes are just sitting there unpurchased, unseen, unworn. They haven't moved on to their second home, and the likelihood of them doing that has been reduced because our lifestyle has changed. And so, you know, that's something you have to deal with in a consignment shop. And so I do have some plans on what to do about those things, but that is the reality. Is I have all of that to contend with, hundreds of things that are past their consignment date, hundreds of things that are on clearance or whatever, because we're moving so much through. And that is something you've got to contend with. When you own it, and this is an important point I want to make, when you own it, you don't have to mark it down. You don't have to put it on sale. If you are acquiring things that you are reselling, then you can buy things that are classic pieces that never go out of style, like the leather biker jacket, you know, the black turtleneck, that kind of thing. Like, you don't ever really have to mark it down if you don't want, if you think it's something that's timeless. But merchandising, how the store looks, picking the merchandise to come in, the selection process is really, really a challenge. Turning away things all the time, and there are times I still don't turn away things. One of the things we're doing is moving away from selling St. John. Not going to sell it anymore. That is, customer is too hard to find in the store. Those things usually sell online, and they don't sell very often or very fast, but they do sell. But I'm not going to carry it anymore. When I sell through what I have, I'm done with St. John. I'm going to let someone else sell that who has a mature customer for that, because the customer is buying St. John, vintage St. John, or pre-owned St. John, is not the customer buying vintage Moschino. These are not the same people. And so I'm moving away from that. So in consignment, you really have to think about what brand you're taking in, and do you have the customers in your community to support that? Now, one of the main things when you have a storefront is you're serving your local community. When you go online, you're serving a global community. And so those two things don't necessarily match up. Your local customers could be very different than the ones who want to buy from you online, because it's basically unlimited. It's vast. I mean, the key to online selling for consignment is to just get it up there, because there isn't a problem. There's a supply problem. Just like Tesla, they got a supply problem. The demand is off the charts. There is a supply problem for consignment in terms of what's called the good stuff. There's a supply problem in always having the Chanel bag and always having the Louis Vuitton and always having the Prada. I mean, you know, when you get it in, it's going to sell. And so you're constantly looking for more and more of that. In a reselling model, or you could, if you have a budget for it, buy outright from customers rather than consign, then you can relax. You don't have to worry if that thing got sold in 3 months or 6 months. It's yours. You can take your time. You can control how much profit you want to make on it. And that's a beautiful thing. So do I think consignment model is dying? I absolutely think consignment is getting overtaken by reselling. There is no question about it. I do, however, believe that there is an unlimited market for the consignment model and the consignment items, because so many people do not want to be bothered with that. They do not want to sell their own things. And so we become the alternative to donating. And a lot of people have items that they deem, and certainly I would deem too nice to donate, right? You don't want to just give it away, that there's value in there. And there's more than just value. People want these things. I was doing an intake today, and I just saw some of the beautiful things I've seen in a long time that all came from one source. And I thought to myself, there are people just waiting for me to post this online that are going to really love and appreciate this vintage piece and be able to use it again and admire it and get more use out of it. And I'm thrilled to be able to pass that along. And so it's almost like if you're going to do consignment or even reselling, there's like this, I think there's a responsibility to identify these things that are special and make sure people know about them and get them out there so that those who collect or those who are into that brand can find it and use it again. And certainly posting it online is going to increase your chances of that. So, yeah, those are just some thoughts I have on consignment. I'm definitely still doing consignment, but I am supplementing my store with so many more things that we own. Most importantly, the vintage Moschino collection that I have that is doing really well. I just sold a sweater tonight on Poshmark from my vintage Moschino collection. So people are finding it. I now have a reputation for having this collection. People are seeking me out, collectors. I'm filling special orders, things like that. So that's really, really fun. But Vintage Moschino is a niche, and it's, in general, a slow seller. And so that is something I know. That's what we all need to think about. And supplementing slow sellers with the quick sellers, the Chanel, the Louis Vuitton, the Hermes, the Prada, all of that kind of thing. That's kind of important. And in consignment, you've got to balance that inventory. You've got to be mindful of what's coming in there that's going to sell quickly and what isn't, because it's a constant feeding of the beast. It's a constant feeding of a system that has a huge, huge, insatiable appetite for these pre-owned luxury. And so you've got to be the person who can find the source for these things that people want and source it again and again and again. So consignment model is changing. I think there's, to my knowledge, I would have to get the stats from the Trade Association for reselling. I don't want to say there's fewer. I don't know that if there's fewer or not. I do know that there are a lot more people reselling, and that is absolutely competition. And it's not competition in the direct sense. In the broadest sense, it's a climate and competition where reselling consignment, we're all out there together working to get these goods back out there into the secondary market in the hands of people that want to love and enjoy them and are willing to pay for them. And with the supply chain problem going on for holiday 2021, I think more of that's going to happen than we realize. And that's it. This is Jenny Walker with Closet Conversations. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. If you'd like to be in touch, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Jenny Girls Closet. I check all of my emails I check all my emails, and I look forward to having you with me on a future episode.